And thank you for coming to church today. Because without you, there is no church. Praise the Lord. We have been embarking on a particular journey for about 3 weeks, thereabout now. We started with looking at choices. We define choices. We look at characteristics of choices. And we finished that very first message by a single line word, choose to serve God. And then about a week or two ago, we gave us what does it mean to serve God when we say choose to serve God. Mind you, we are still talking about choices. We look at what it means to serve God, to obey God, to follow God, to believe God, to trust God. And we gave ourselves 3 very powerful examples, 2 examples from the Bible, and 1 living example that you and I can identify with in the person of our general overseer. And we actually went to his journey. Now, we are not saying that everybody is going to become a general overseer. That's not what we're saying. But we did a comparative analysis of, at most, as a scholar, probably he will be today a vice chancellor. But you can, if you put his life, what he would have been and what he is, by virtue of the choice he made, even though at that point in time, that choice to any reasonable human being is crazy. To a reasonable woman or a reasonable wife who is not a Christian, that choice will be, you are taking us down the drain, I'm not going to follow you. I'm sure some members of his family or friends will tell him, man, something is wrong with your brain. You came from poverty, now you want to go back to where you came from. All kinds of stuff. But today, you can see the difference. And the reason we were doing all this comparative analysis is to present before you, just as Joshua presented to the Israelites when he told them, I present you this day, good and evil. Choose. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he said, I implore you to choose to serve God. So we are concluding today. Last week, we concluded or we stopped at looking at the example, biblical example. Because one of the major ways we study the Bible is you study characters in the Bible and you can see what they went through, how they were able to overcome what they went through, what are the principles involved in helping to shape their life to come to the place of victory. And you also see other characters in the Bible that had great potentials but never made it. So what are those things that were responsible? Praise the Lord. We've already looked at King Saul. We are still looking at making godly choices or making right choices, making godly choices. The reason why we use those 2 words to qualify the same word is because sometimes the fact that you are making a right choice does not mean that you belong to God. Praise the Lord. So we are saying that you should make the right choice. You should also make a godly choice. Praise the Lord. Now, we've already looked at King Saul last week. We've already looked at King Uzziah. We actually look at King Uzziah and his father. His father started well, he ended badly. Uzziah started well, and the Bible says, and he was greatly helped by God. But a man that was greatly helped by God, the Bible says, when he became greatly helped, he sinned against God. Lesson for you and I. It is not how you start. But are you finished? It is extremely important that you finish well and you finish strong. A lot of people do not fall when they are poor. A lot of people do not fall when nobody knows them. Actually, Satan is not interested in you when you are nobody. Why will Satan be crazy about you when you are nobody? But when Satan has seen the great potential in you, and he has seen what you are likely to become, and particularly if you are a child of God, he has seen all kinds of how you are going to depopulate hell. They will do everything to stop you. They will throw everything at you. Everything thinkable. When Satan could not get King David, do you know what he did? They allowed him to become successful, to have a lot of affluence, and for him to rest when his children rest, and he saw what he ought not to have seen. And that was it. That was when Satan was able to come into his household to afflict him. And for the rest of his life from that point, he never rested. So what's the message for you? Choose your choice. Make right choices. Make godly choices. Even when you become comfortable. The Bible said concerning the Israelites, it said, when you get to that promised land, that land that flows with milk and honey, do not forget the God that brought you to that land. A lot of us, it is when we get to the promised land, when there is AC, when there is good car, when there is good house, that you forget the God. That's where it becomes uncomfortable for you to pray. That's where you cannot pray. You that in your house, the fan, when it's making noise, people are four houses away. They are hearing the noise. And you will be praying. They wonder, is somebody beating this man or this woman? Now we are so comfortable that when you pray 2-3 minutes, you are already tired. The Satan that cannot get you when things are hard is looking for you when things are easy. Is looking for you to sleep. Is looking for you to make a costly mistake. Is looking for you to commit blunder. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph is a very good example or somebody who came from a dysfunctional background, even though it's a Christian home. Because particularly most of us that came from Africa, from a polygamous background, and the father has 2-3 wives, and you have children, you know what goes on there. All kinds of stuff. That is the kind of background that Joseph had. And Joseph was raised spoiled. Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, Joseph being raised spoiled, he was the favorite of his dad. And in that house, there are 12 children. Imagine for you, for some of us that have children, let's say you have just only 2. And one of the 2 is your favorite. Imagine the war that is going on in your house. Imagine the contention that is going on between the children. Now, talk less of you have 12. Now, talk less of the fact of the history of the 2 wives, how they came to be. Now, you know, they are not just only 2 wives. You know the concubines also. A lot of people's destiny has been messed up because of scenarios like this. That's the background of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery because of that. His brothers initially wanted to kill him They said, we will see what become of his dream. Now, this were his brothers. No wonder the Bible said, members of your house, your own household, they are the one that are looking to get you. Because of the background or how he was raised, he made poor choices. Because of his father's example, I'm sure they were already growing up, maybe, when his father cheated his twin brother. And he ran away for 15 years. So what kind of child do you think a cheat will give back to? If his father was a cheat, he is going to be a cheat times two, if not more. So no wonder what was going on in their household. But he was sold into slavery, and he began to change. He began to become transformed. His character was becoming refined. Even though he found himself in difficult situation, he began to serve God. So, in other words, don't make excuses because of your background. Don't say it's because of the woman that gave birth to me or the household I came from. It gets to a point in life, you begin to make your own choices. You are there right now. Make right choices. Make godly choices. He forgave his brothers when he had the opportunity to revenge. I thought he saw the example of his uncle Esau. How he forgave his dad, Jacob. So he forgave. He did not revenge. He had the opportunity to revenge on a platter of gold. He was now the second in command, the vice president. If it's you, the person that wanted you dead, that sold you into slavery, won't you deal with them? This opportunity I have now, let me just remove them so that because the snake, you get a snake, you have not cut off his head. It can still bite you. So let me just cut the snake head off. Won't you say that? Let's just put an end, permanent end, seal it off. But it did not revenge. He made excellent choices by preparing for his opportunities while he was still in adversity. The fact that Joseph became second in command in Egypt was not just because of his gift. In fact, it was not because of his gift. They called him to come and interpret dreams. Who asked him for advice? But when, after interpreting dreams, I begin to give them advice. As they say, wow, where are we going to find somebody as smart as this? He went the extra mile. He prepared for his opportunities while he was in adversity, while he was in prison. Anywhere he gets to, he takes charge. While he was in prison, he was advising his fellow prisoners. When he was a chief servant in the other man's house, he organized the house and everything was good. So by the time he got to the big stage, he already have organizational skills. He already developed himself. He already could do so many things nobody taught him. He learned all those things through adversity. Instead of using adversity as an excuse not to excel, not to succeed, and to go down, but he used adversity, the ferocity of the adversity, the how terrible the adversity was to empower himself. And by the time he came out on the other side, everybody was blown away. But all those things started from the small choices he was making when nobody sees him. All the small choices all the godly choices he was making, when to you and I, it doesn't matter. I implore you and I to do the same. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next one. We'll stop at that. We can read more in the Bible for ourselves. Under consequences of our choices, that's what we're still looking at. Now, we are looking at type of choices. And as we are doing that, we are using characters in the Bible as our reference points to drive down or drive up our point. Because human beings can relate to one another better. Your choice may be a big one. That you make one choice is a big one. It could completely change the direction of your life. Your choice could be a small choice you make on a daily basis, like we just gave the example of Joseph. It was not the big choice that actually took him to that stage. It was the, after he realized he's a slave, the daily choices he made, small choices he made, all together that culminated together to make him to evolve, to be the Joseph that we see on this platform. So, big choices, small choices. The choice you are making could be a bad choice and it could be a good choice. It could be a good choice, it could be a bad choice. The choice you are making could also be a short-term choice or a long-term choice. Long-term choice will be choices that can affect your life permanently or for a long time to come. Short-term choice might be a choice that will just affect you for a short duration of time. And we are going to see all these things as we go. Praise the Lord. Example of choices. Marriage. We say here, prayerfully make your choice. That's one. Now, when you are in marriage, prayerfully make your choices. Why in marriage? Two things. Before you get into it, and when you get into it, prayerfully make your choices. When Isaac was to get married, because they prayerfully made the choice, he did not run into all kinds of problems that he would have avoided before entering into it. But Jacob, because Jacob was already crooked, Jacob was already messed up. By the time he was making his choice, he was not even thinking about God. In fact, God asked not to do it. God was not in the equation. And so because of that, I saw this woman. Oh, yeah, I want her. And because of that, his background began to haunt him. His supposedly father-in-law took advantage of him, gave him another woman. And he was ready to serve for 7 years for that. 7 years. I didn't say 7 days. I didn't say 7 months. 7 years. And if that was not enough, he served another 7 years. And if that was not enough, his two wives now, they played on his intelligence. The first one gave him a servant when she saw bearing children, so that one can bear children on her behalf. And the second one also did the same. Can you imagine? And this is somebody who is a covenant child. Career. We've given the example of Joseph. 2 Timothy 2:15. preparation and personal development. See, the career you choose, let's do an example of the general overseer, for example. Can you imagine somebody who went to school and read until he became a professor? And then suddenly one day, he says, I want to be the leader of a group of people that their church, in fact, it was just barely covered. And we leave all those things. Now, we are talking about career and personal development. For him to get to where he was, he stated that they were very poor in their family. It was difficult to pay his school fees. In fact, there are more than two of them. He was out of school because the parent could not afford his school fees. But he kept at it. And God was guiding him until he succeeded. So in other words, as you are choosing a career, allow God to lead you. Allow God to guide you. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the truth you know that can set you free. If it's possible for you to know the truth, I may not set you free. It is the truth you know and imbibe that will set you free. In making a career, you know, a career choice, you know, those are long-term choices. Allow God to guide you. You may have read something. God is the only one that knows tomorrow before yesterday. So if that is true, the fact that you went to school to, let's say, study English language, just for example, does not mean eventually that's what you're going to do. If you allow God to guide you, it may be what you are going to do, but if you allow God to just guide you, because God knows the end of the story before the very beginning. Let's go to the next one. Food and drink. In fact, this is an excellent example. We made a statement, we say you should make right choices, make godly choices. Sometimes, godly may not be attached to the choice. Take, for example, food. If you are hungry, you eat. Everybody, you know, if you are hungry, you are supposed to eat. Everybody knows that if you want to go to school, you need to read. Everybody knows all that. But if you allow God to guide you, there are a lot of things you will avoid. Let's talk about food and drink. There are places you are not supposed to eat. You know, a lot of us, we have African backgrounds, so you can understand what I'm talking about. There are places you don't eat. No matter what they are giving you, there are places you dare not eat. That may alter your destiny completely. There are food you don't eat. There are times to eat, and there are times not to eat. If you don't know when to eat and when not to eat, by the time you are 50 or 60, you will realize that you'll be eating your life away. 1 Kings 13, 11 to 31, we're not going to read it, is the story of the young prophet and the old prophet. the young prophet was given a message by God. He's a man of God, holy, righteous. He sees God, he hears from God, like you and I. God sent him on an assignment. He went to carry out the assignment successfully. See that? He went to carry out the assignment successfully. So he's not somebody on the street who doesn't know God. But God gave him some warning, some instructions to obey. After he has carried out the assignment, signs and wonders have happened, miracles have happened, God gave him an instruction to follow. And he did not follow that instruction. Despite the fact that the man of God, despite the fact that he hears from God, despite that God has used him mightily, he went against the personal instruction that God gave him. And that was the end of him. He ate where he wasn't supposed to eat. He rested where he wasn't supposed to rest. He rested when he wasn't supposed to rest. You and I, are we resting where we are not supposed to rest, when we are not supposed to rest, or where we are not supposed to rest? Are we eating what we are not supposed to eat, where we are not supposed to eat, and when we are not supposed to eat? There are many other examples. But, you know, I employ us to read for, more. Effect of our choices. Effects of our choices. Now, the characters we have already looked at, they are very, very important now, about four of them, because we are almost rounding up. But this is where the rubber meets the road. Your choice either enhance or hinder your gift. Your choice, you are gifted. Every one of us are born gifted. Some have more, some have less. But we are all gifted. But your choice either enhance your gift or hinders your gift. Since I watch basketball, there are some persons that are known to be highly gifted. Like Kyrie Irving, highly gifted. Like DeMarcus Cousins, highly gifted. Like Latrell Sprewell, highly gifted. Now, I mentioned these three choices, and I will tell you what I'm talking about. DeMarcus Cousins was playing for Sacramento Kings, and he was due to renew a contract for over $200 million. But because of his temperament, they refused. Instead of that, they traded him to another team. Do you know, since then, he has only made $12 million. Since then, he has only made $12 million. Look at the huge gap. Latrell Sprewell. He was highly gifted, but he was very volatile. And because of that, he was always moving from team to team until he was pushed out of the league. Presently, Kyrie, highly gifted, even now, highly gifted. He is still well paid. But from the moment he left his first team, every team he goes to, there is a crisis. There is a crisis. The problem is not his gift. Everybody acknowledged the fact that he is highly gifted, but his choices, his hampering, his gift. your gift determines your ability to take or seize opportunities. Your choice determines your ability to take or seize opportunities. I will take that together with your choice also ensure whether you are able to maintain, advance, or reduce your momentum. I will take them together. Ability to seize opportunities, depending on your choice. Remember, one of the things we said when we started this journey together was that there are two types of education you get. One is formal, the other is informal. We said the informal education you get is the one that enhances or enables you to be able to maintain what you get from the other form of education. Your choice determines whether you will be able to keep the opportunity that comes your way or whether you'll be able to take advantage of them. A very good example is the man we'll be talking about, Joseph. A man was called from prison. He has a gift to interpret dreams. That's all he has. But he has been developing himself as a manager. He was a manager in the prison. He was a manager as a servant. He was always managing stuff. So he kept developing himself. By the time they call him for a one-time opportunity, we say ability to take or seize opportunity, he had a one-shot, one-time opportunity, and that's all he had. Who mind an imprisoned slave? Who? But he knew he had something that the world needs, but nobody knows. So by the time he was coming out, the first thing he did is change his prison garment. The second thing he did is he cleaned up. So by the time they were presenting him before the king was not seeing somebody was brought from a prison. The king was seeing somebody completely different. So by the time he opened his mouth to talk, the king was blown away. Wow. By the time he gave his advice, after he has finished interpreting dream, he said, there's no other person, it's you. Your choice will determine whether the opportunity that comes your way, whether you are able to take advantage of them or not, or whether you are actually prepared and ready for those opportunities, or they will be wasted. The advantage you gain, the momentum you gain, are you able to keep it? Because life is about momentum. If you lose momentum, you go down. But it's all dependent on your choice. Whether the momentum you get by the things you are already doing that is working well for you, if you are able to keep it, is dependent on the choices you make or whether you are going to lose momentum. A very good example is Daniel. Daniel in the Bible. Every step of the way, Daniel is always making excellent choices. No wonder. Daniel was a minister in three different governments. You can't beat that. And he was a foreigner, like you and I. It was all, we knew he was gifted. But it was his choices. When it was difficult, when you and I we chicken out and will not be able to take the kind of step he took, he stepped up and took those tough decisions. But he always make right decision, and he always ensure his decision was godly. Conclusion. We said when we started this journey, we said all of us, every human being, we are all mandated to choose. There's no in between. And we also say you are going to bear the consequences of your choice. Yes, we are all going to bear the consequences of our choice. Whether short term, long term, whether it makes you happy, you are successful, peaceful or not, we will bear the consequences of our choice. But I appeal to you this day, just like it was done to them in the Bible, choose right. If you have made wrong choices in the past, going forward, let us begin to make right choices. Let us begin to make godly choices. And I pray you will look back one day to a message like this and you say, praise God. I pray the Lord will help you and I in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, my God and my Lord, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege you've given to us. Thank you for giving us this privilege to realign ourselves with you, to re-examine our ways so that we can begin to make right choices, godly choices. And if peradventure in the past, one way or the other, we've made poor choices, it is not too late. Because it was Joseph made a turnaround in his life. He began to make right choices. And he ended up successful, happy, celebrated. So also was Daniel. Father, let this be our portion in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord.